This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now we have in the studio our next guest. We have Amanda Dunsmore, who is a senior curator at the NGV and senior curator for Decorative Arts and Antiquities.
That's right.
Hi, Amanda. How are you going?
Hello. Good to be here.
Great. Thank you. Good to have you here. Now, we like to start off the show by having a little bit of a chat about your background, how you got into the arts and the arts field. So how did your love of arts or your interest in arts start off for you?
Well, always had a love of art and studied it through school and university. But in fact, I actually went down the path of studying Egyptology, ancient Egyptian history and archaeology, and did a master's degree, in fact, on part of the Egyptian collection at the NGV, which was, I guess, was a real introduction for me to an insight to the behind the scenes at the NGV. And I just, I guess, really loved that opportunity to work with the collection hands-on. And yes, it's gone from there.
And sorry, and I just have to ask you, but with the love of arts, how did that move to Egyptology? What was it about Egyptology?
Oh, it didn't shift. It's a concurrent interest, okay. I guess. You know, you study ancient Egypt. Everyone studies ancient Egypt in year seven at school. And the light just went on for me, really. And I was always fascinated. And when I went to Monash and I happened to start my Bachelor of Arts there at the time when they were literally just introducing Egyptology for the first year there. It was a new course. It was, you know, all the stars aligned in that sense, it felt like. And so, you know, how could I not do that? And just followed that path, I guess, really, for a number of years, really.
And then you said that was the studies led you to the NGV.
Yes, that's right. Yes, through my supervisor at the university, he had been working on the collection at the NGV for years, cataloguing it and studying it. And so I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to undertake a research master's on part of the Egyptian collection there. And
And is that quite an extensive Egypt collection that NGV has?
I guess it's always hard to compare. Compared to the, you know, the really big institutions around, like the British Museum or the Louvre or the Met in New York, it's a smaller scale collection, of course, but it has fantastic works in it across the whole period of ancient Egyptian history, and quite a lot of the collection is actually from provenanced excavations from the 19th century and early 20th century. So that's really important in that sense, and the works offer a lot of value in that regard. So you really get a lot of information out of them in that sense. There's a lot of records there to be able to understand this material more fully.
And when did you move over? When did you start to drift to the
interesting
dark side?
I did find I came to a crossroads, really, where I was, you know, contemplating or wanting to do a PhD in Egyptology overseas, and wanted to do that in the UK, and it just didn't work out, really, to be honest, from a financial point of view for me. And I was looking, I mean, you want to sort of do the maths as well about how many more years of study and how old you'll be at that point, and, you know, still hadn't had a job by that stage. And really it was a very gradual sort of, you know, for me, realisation in a way that, you know, what I really enjoyed was obviously working with objects, you know, and rather than the pure theory, if you like, and academic history behind it, but it was working one-on-one with the collections. And so I started volunteering in the Department of Decorative Arts, which does incorporate the Antiquities Collection. Yeah. And it went from there, and I was volunteering for quite a long while on and off and still working in Egypt and doing, you know, things in that direction. But then an assistant curator role came up, and it was sort of a life-changing moment, to be honest. Yes.
And a no-brainer, really. Mm. Just got you in the door.
Because really, I guess I would really say that, you know, anything ancient, it's ancient Egypt, ancient, you know, Greece or Rome, whatever the culture, it's the ancient end of one continuous spectrum, do you know? And the decorative arts, what we call decorative arts, is basically that more, you know, modern period, if you like, early modern period continuum.
What does that incorporate, the decorative arts?
Yeah, well, for us, we define that as incorporating all the ceramic collections, the glass collections, the metalwork and jewellery collections and furniture. So it's broad.
And that's big too.
It's huge. The parameters for my responsibilities encompass, you know, the ancient Mediterranean, the Egyptian, Greek and Roman collections, and goes right through, you know, from there to 1980, basically,
right,
where the contemporary departments continue on from there. Yeah. So it's vast in that sense.
And how long have you been there?
I've grown up at the NGV. I've been a full-time curator there for the last 16 years, but worked on and off on contracts before that for years in different areas.
Gosh. Yes. And, you know, like, what's it like being part of this organisation that is so dearly loved these days by Melburnians and people around the world now?
Yes, it's a real privilege. It's a super collection. It really is. The Felton bequest that we received in 1904 has absolutely transformed the NGV's collection and continues to do that. And they are world-class, the collections, and to work with such holdings and the depth of the holdings at the NGV is truly a privilege.
Mm. Mm. Now, you're here today to talk about one exhibition in particular. What is it?
It's a show on our Venetian glass holdings called Liquid Light, 500 Years of Venetian Glass.
And how beautiful is Venetian glass, full stop.
It's stupendous, yeah, it is. It's absolutely glorious material, yes.
And what sort of, you know, like you gave us the time that it, and is it just part of the collection?
Yes.
Is it NGV's collection?
It is. It is, with the exception of one object on loan. It's the most contemporary work in the collection, but everything else in the show is from the NGV's collection.
Mm. And, you know, like, just how old it is and you know, that form of, you know, glass blowing.
Production,
Where does people's minds come from to think of, you know, like creating that sort of heat and to blow those beautiful pieces of glass?
Indeed, yes. Look, I think it's a confluence of events, obviously. There is, you know, archaeological evidence for glass blowing on the islands around Venice from around the 8th century. So, for centuries, obviously, it's been produced there. But in terms of our understanding and our knowledge of Venetian glass, it really stems back to, I guess the golden age of Venetian glass blowing is from the 15th century onwards, really. And that's
such a long time
ago. Still, exactly. That's right. We're in the Renaissance period. But it's in that mid 1400s that a particular glass blower on Murano, which is one of the islands where the industry was really established, developed a new glass formula or glass body, and they called it cristallo, crystal effectively, or in reference to rock crystal, the natural rock crystal, because of its the purity of the glass, the clarity of it, the high light transmittance of it, and the ductility of it as well. Mm. You know, it offered enormous possibilities for them.
But also, those bloody Italians, they were amazing back in that era, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, like, they just had this great understanding and just wanted to create beautiful things, and they were doing it with music and with, you know, like, and so many other areas, and architecture,
painting, of course,
painting,
exactly, rich artistic production, especially particularly out of the Venetian Republic, of course, over the centuries, indeed,
and that part of the world was very affluent as well, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. Venice was at a very, you know, located in a very strategic part of the Mediterranean in that sense, between the East and the West in that sense, and it had long trading links and deep trading links into the East, basically, the Byzantine and then the Ottoman empires, deep trading links, and of course Egypt and Syria, and really you could say that the development of the glass industry in Venice really was hugely influenced by Byzantine glass production in the East.
Now, what can people expect in this exhibition? You know, like little bits of broken glass sitting there on
Oh, no, come on, David. Sensational, sensational, glorious objects, truly. I mean, I say that in all seriousness.
Awesome.
Extraordinary works that, as I said, range from the 16th century through to the 21st century.
And how exciting is it that there's these pieces that are still in one piece?
I know, yeah, exactly. Exactly. When you look at this material, they are absolutely crazy objects and they weigh absolutely nothing. It's frightening to have to work with them in that sense. They weigh nothing. You just don't want to breathe on them. So even just securing them, even they're in the case, but the building actually does get a fair amount of vibration through it at times in different, you know, depending on what's going on. And things do creep around, and these works are so light, we do have to fix them down. So We're currently literally in the process of doing that as we speak. But yeah, they're extraordinary works. And I guess, if I can go on, one of the real, I guess, strengths of our holdings, our collection, the NGV's collection, is the late 19th century, when we see the revival of the Venetian glass industry. And the NGV purchased a very significant body of material from the Melbourne 1880-81 exhibition. And
now, that was at the Royal Exhibition Building.
Exactly,
that's what it was
just
built
up the road.
For.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, exactly, for this great exhibition. And we bought a large collection, including a mosaic as well, which is here. And there were two mosaics. Well, two mosaics of this particular subject. Ours is of the Last Supper, and the this famous glass company that we bought our works from brought out two mosaics of the Last Supper subject. And the other mosaic, if I can give a little plug, is actually up in St. Peter's, Eastern Hill in East Melbourne, behind the altar there. I had a look at it for the first time only a few weeks ago. It's a much bigger mosaic, but of the same subject.
Hold on. Which church is this we're talking
about? St. Peter's Anglican Church. It's called St. Peter's Eastern Hill. It's just up in East Melbourne.
Is that the one that's on the opposite, on the other side of the street to St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can go in and see. It is behind the altar, but it is there to be able to see. Yes,
right.
You can go
how do they end up with it?
Yes, it's not clear. They would have purchased it at the exhibition, as far as
okay,
I know.
The end of
yeah,
the exhibition.
I believe
right.
they did purchase it there. Yeah,
right,
but I don't know much more about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's, it's
anyway. So yes.
So this exhibition is, you know, like really quite extraordinary.
It is. So we have great. If I can say that, great things. Really, you know, stupendous.
Of course,
works.
You can say that.
We really do. It's very interesting in a way to. You know, when we're thinking always about our next exhibition in this particular space where we have our decorative arts exhibitions in this, it is effectively a corridor, a passage, but it works very, very well for the decorative arts collections. Takes you on a bit of a journey as you go through the corridor, and it's quite a dark, moody space. And it's always interesting to sort of think about different where the depths and strengths of the NGV's collection are, and it's quite surprising at times when you start focusing in on a particular and you realise actually we've got enough to do a show. We've got really good things, and we've got a good chronological span, and we've got we've got the content there to really put a good show on.
And where is this exhibition?
It is in our NGV International building, the main building on St Kilda Road.
The bunker.
Yes.
I love it. It's such a beautiful building.
It is. The Bluestone building, and it's up on level two, and it runs, it's as I said, it's a corridor. It runs literally across the back of the Great Hall with that marvellous stained glass ceiling. So it's the best vantage point to see the stained glass ceiling of Leonard French's stained glass ceiling. Yes.
Yeah.
And so you enter it you can enter either end via balconies at either end.
And there's these beautiful cases, aren't they, that it's all situated?
Yes, there are glass. Yep. We have display cases all along the corridor and then either end, and also then the balconies on either end will have works on each balcony
right.
as well.
And I saw an exhibition which would have been part of you a few years ago, and it was extraordinary. I think it was actually part of the Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, the Art of the Table.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
that,
right.
That was
yeah.
Was that you?
Yes.
That
yeah.
was a great exhibition.
Yeah, my colleague. Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, it was good fun.
And as you said, it's beautiful because you can look up at the stained glass ceiling as you're going through.
Indeed.
And what's it called again?
The show, Liquid Light, 500 Years of Venetian Glass.
Right, and it's from the...
It opens this Friday to the public. It's a free exhibition and it'll be on for the year, closing sometime in April next year. I think it's the 20th of April 2020.
Right, okay. Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you,
David. Always good
to
see you.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.